Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Tuesday of the 16th Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, through chapter 10, verse 15.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, neither scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
When I was a kid, one of the shows we loved to watch together as a family was Mission Impossible. We loved the way that the Impossible Mission Force were always in some Eastern European country in which they used fake Eastern European accents, and there were always vehicles on them that said Staatspolizei, that is, state police. We loved the way that everything was choreographed perfectly, down to the mandatory latex mask one of them would use to pretend to be one of the bad guys. We especially loved the beginning of the show. Jim Phelps, the leader of the Impossible Mission Force, played by Peter Graves, will pull a reel-to-reel cassette tape recorder out of a car or safe deposit box and begin listening to it. His boss would begin to explain the nature of the latest mission by saying, Your mission, should you choose to accept it. And then he would carefully explain what the Impossible Mission Force was being asked to do. Like the Impossible Mission Force, you too have been given an assignment, a mission. Here's how Jesus himself presents your mission in today's gospel lesson from Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave him authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every infirmity. The commission of Jesus to go out and do his will on earth as it is in heaven, which we pray for every day, and which he issued here in Matthew 9, is also the last commission he gave to his disciples in Matthew 28. Your mission, therefore, is the mission of the Son, to obey the will of the Father, to continue the ministry of Jesus, which he continues through us, and to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey the will of the Father as well. This mission seemed like an impossible mission to the disciples. Who were they to heal every disease and infirmity and to cast out demons? Our mission to obey the will of the Father, to make disciples, and to teach them to obey the Father also seems like an impossible mission. But here is where our reality must part from the fiction of the TV show Mission Impossible. Our mission is a possible one, because it is not our mission, but that of Jesus Christ. With him, all things are possible, For all authority has been given to him, and he shares his authority with us. Secondly, we are not told your mission should you choose to accept it. No, we are not told we are commanded. Go and make disciples, and go into the harvest. In Luke's account of the sending out of the 70 and their return, the 70 return with joy because of what they've seen the Lord do through them. It was important that they share what they saw God doing with others. Jesus' response was also important, for when they returned with their report, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When we obey and go into the harvest and labor, then we will see Satan fall like lightning from heaven. For when we obey, the kingdom of heaven comes, and Satan must flee. In June 2008, I went on the first mission trip of my life, taking a group of teens from St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, along with a group from All Saints Episcopal. Those of us who went from St. Andrew's and All Saints were commissioned by our churches and by the Lord to go in His name to Belize and minister. In Belize, the harvest is plentiful. There is much work to be done. Jesus has compassion on the people of Belize because they are harassed and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. When we got to Belize, I had the distinct sense that God had already been there, and so He was. In Belize, we saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven because we saw God at work there. The young people we took saw Him as they labored with their hands and wood, like their master, the carpenter. They saw God at work and learning to work together as a team with others to help put up a building. That building became a completed library and computer lab for the 450 kids who go to Holy Cross Anglican School. Others saw God when they assisted the teachers and filled in for them and gave them a break. It was difficult work. Without the teacher being active, the kids quickly began to spread all over the room. Some of the girls also saw God by cleaning dishes for a few hours one day. I don't think they were too thrilled to be doing it, but they learned the meaning of service and what the women at Holy Cross went through every day, 6 days a week, with no vacations. I hope they learned compassion. I had quite a few encounters with God myself as I saw Him at work. It was thrilling to see our youth serving and learning. All of us saw God at work in the lives of Vernon and Francis Wilson, who established Holy Cross School just a few years before. Vernon and Francis taught all of us what God can do with just two people obeying Him. Because of their faithfulness, mission team after mission team is now coming to serve in San Pedro, Belize. Through their work at Holy Cross, they are helping to transform the educational system of an entire country. One night, as I was talking to a man with dreadlocks who played reggae music and called himself Lyrical King, he told me the man he was talking to wanted to talk to me. The first words out of this man's mouth were, I just got out of prison, what should I do? From there, I had an opportunity to tell the man, whose name was Rushan, about God and what he needed, and that he needed to find a church. We talked a long time, and I prayed with him. I also gave him some of our leftover pizza and a Bible, which he carried with him everywhere the next few days. He told me that he'd been praying that God would lead him to someone to talk to, and God led him to me. The Sunday we were there, I was privileged to preach while Father Jamber of All Saints celebrated Holy Communion. It was the first communion service they had had there since December, half a year earlier. Sunday after church, I was walking on the beach, still wearing my collar, and someone on the beach by a wall in front of a cemetery called out, Father. I went over and asked the man, whose name was Oscar, how he was doing. He said politely, I'm doing good. He paused a second and then added, I'm not doing good. 3 years ago I had a job, a car, a wife, and kids, but I lost them all. I asked how. To alcohol, he said. He said that he had prayed to Jesus, but that he never answered, which gave me an opportunity to talk to him about God's love and about Oscar's responsibility. I talked to him for about 20 minutes, prayed with him, and told him that he must find a church to help him. He had three friends sitting in front of the cemetery with him in various stages of inebriation. Every day for the next 2 days, I stopped by to talk to all the guys on the wall in front of the cemetery. And so I'm here to tell you that when we were there in Belize, we saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, because we saw God working to establish His kingdom in Belize and in our lives. It was, as the people of Belize like to say, unbelievable. What made it possible? Three things. First, we spent time praying and readying our hearts to serve God and see Him in Belize. Second, we left behind our normal routines and expectations and went as servants, ready to do whatever was asked of us. And third, every evening we'd gather together to pray and share with one another the answer to three questions. What was good? What was challenging? And where did I see God at work today? But Fort Worth, where I was living at the time, was also the harvest. In fact, for the people of St. Andrews, It was the main place that God has sent us to harvest. And Hot Springs, Arkansas, where I ministered to Christ Anglican Reformed Episcopal Church, is the town where there is a harvest. And Jesus has compassion on the people of your city, because they are harassed and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. Blaise is just a more dramatic version of what happens daily in Fort Worth, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in Tyler, Texas, and daily in your town. If only we would see. God is there at work every bit as much as he is in Belize. If only we would stop and see. The possible mission for all of us today is to obey the Lord when he sends us into the harvest to do his will, and to look for him and where he is at work. To do this, we'll all need to do the same three things we did that helped us to see God in Belize. First, prepare to see him. Get up and keep the heart of a servant. Second, get rid of distractions. Don't let your weekly routine become an excuse for not seeing God. Don't get so addicted to our conveniences and gadgets and leisure that you lose the heart of a servant. Make time to see God every day. Third, share God with others when you see him at work, for he comes to you every day in many ways. Mission Impossible was a memorable show because it was filled with heroism and adventure. One of the great contributions to Western civilization made by the late-night comedian Conan O'Brien was his discovery that even the most ordinary and mundane daily activities can be made to seem exciting and adventurous if the Mission Impossible music is played while you're doing it. Your possible mission, and you should choose to accept it, is to listen for the Lord's command and to go and labor in his kingdom. Your mission each day this week is to share with at least one person where you saw God and where you saw Satan being cast down. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.